as we get back into our series, Secure, learning how to protect what matters most. And we've kind of been studying what are Satan's tendencies, what strategies is Satan using to successfully hurt the home. And we talked about the fact that Satan wants to divide and conquer. He wants our family to be fragmented. He doesn't want people spending time together. He doesn't want relationships being nurtured. He wants to get in to divide the home. And we've got to be careful about that. Then we talked about how Satan wants to get us to rebel against authority. Authority is a gift from God. Authority is God's plan. It's protection. But Satan doesn't want us to see it that way. He wants us to see it as it's constricting. It's painful, it's inconvenient, it's uncomfortable, and he wants us to rebel against that authority. But what we don't know is that just puts us in a place of vulnerability to Satan and what he might do. And then we began looking at his third strategy, and that was to pollute and to plunder. When Satan gets us fragmented as a family, and then when he gets us out from underneath the umbrella of authority and protection, then he wants to pollute. Satan wants to put the world into our lives, into our hearts, into our relationships and homes. And he desires to take that pollution to a point of destruction in our family. And we discussed, as we looked at the last lesson, Satan's process. We talked about the fact that it begins with an attraction. The world and sin always looks attractive in the beginning. And Satan wants to attract us to the things of this world. Then from that attraction, it leads to an adaptation. We're attracted to things of this world, and then our life begins to shift in that direction. We begin to change the way we operate or we live. And then when we adapt some behavior, it leads to an addiction. Now we have to have it. If we don't have that kind of entertainment, if we don't have that kind of substance or whatever it may be in our life, there's an addiction to it. And that addiction to that sin brings an alteration. We no longer are who we used to be. We're different. We've changed. There's some things about us that have been altered. If we're not careful, if we don't stop it, it leads then to an annihilation where our life, our home, and our relationships truly are destroyed by the wicked one. And so we have to be careful of this pollution that Satan wants to bring into our home. And this morning, we want to dive into this study and discover, now that we are aware of what Satan's trying to do, divide us, get us out from authority, get the world into us, what do? How do we protect our lives, our marriages, and our homes from this pollution that Satan wants to bring? And I believe it begins, number one, with submitting to the right spirit. Submitting to the right spirit. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Class, you and I have to make a personal decision. Who are we going to be controlled by? And I know in 2018, we don't want to hear that we're controlled by anybody, but the truth of the matter is every one of us are. We're either under the control of the Holy Spirit of God or under the spirit of this world. We're under the control of something. And we have to make the decision, who are we going to be yielded to? Who will we submit our spirit to? We have to make a personal decision. I'm not going to be submitted to the spirit of this world, but rather I want to be under the protection of the spirit of God. Because when we're not, Satan pollutes and begins to corrupt. Notice with me, letter A, the results of corruption. The results of corruption. I ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and look with me at verse number 12. The Bible says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 is a passage in Scripture that describes the damage that comes to a heart and a life when Satan gets the pollution of the world into them. When the Satan gets the pollution of the world into them, this is what begins to happen. And it begins with a wound in the heart. He's talking about how they're weighted down, their knees are feeble, they're discouraged, they're distraught, they're hurting. Why? Because sin is in their life. And it's like a flesh-eating disease. It just continues to take more and more and more. And if we're not careful, that wound begins to spread. And that passage goes on to talk about the fact that we'll get bitter. So where we have made bad choices, where we have let sin into our life, then we'll get to the point in our life where it's everybody's fault but ours. And we're bitter. We're frustrated. We don't like ourselves. We don't like our life. We don't like our marriage. We don't like our family. And we're full of bitterness. And the Bible says if that goes unchecked, it leads to defilement. In verse 16, where it's profane and it's vile. That's the progression that Satan wants every one of us to be on. He wants you and I to have the world in us and our wounds to lead to bitterness and our bitterness to lead to defilement. The Bible says in Matthew 5:19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Do we see that in our culture in 2018? Sure. Why? Because sin has been allowed in someone's life and it's gone unchecked. Satan has this pollution in their life and now they are living a defiled life. Now, that's not God's will for anyone in this room. For our marriages, our homes. God wants you and I right with Him. God wants you and I to have a clean heart towards Him. And God wants to heal any wound that you may have. But we have to recognize, I have to submit myself to the Spirit of God. And when I don't, there is corruption out there that will lead to defilement. I've got to be careful. And then we see, letter B, that the way to do that is by the pulling down of the strongholds through the spiritual battle we're engaged in. Every one of us are going to have to get good at pulling down strongholds. Now, what are we talking about? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 in your notes. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now listen, it is our job in our marriages and our home to confront corruption. There's no time to debate this morning whether or not there is corruption in the world in 2018. The answer is yes. The life you and I will live tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, before we assemble together again next Sunday, will be surrounded by corruption. Okay, that's the reality of the world we live in. We live in a sin-cursed world. In the workplace, in the neighborhood, no doubt even at the Jethawks game Wednesday night, sin will be there. So it's in the world in which we live, we have a decision to make. And I believe as husbands and wives and moms and dads, it's up to us to confront the corruption that surrounds our life, our marriage, and our home. And we have to be aware of the signals. When we see maybe in the heart of our child some rebellion, some attitude issue, when we see in our spouse maybe some anger or something that is there, we have to be aware of that and say, hey, what's causing that? Why is that there? Is there some sin in this life or in this relationship that we need to pull down, that we need to get rid of, that we need to run from, so that the destruction that Satan desires to bring will not be the reality of our marriage and our home? We have to be committed to pulling down the strongholds. Now listen to me. If you're going to successfully pull down strongholds in your home, you better be ready for a fight. You better be committed to being persistent. You better be ready to be all in. Because the pulling down of the strongholds does not consist of a Sunday afternoon lunch where you say, you know what, I think it's these seven things, let's get rid of them, okay, let's take our nap, and they go to church tonight and we're done. That's not it. The pulling down of strongholds is spiritual warfare. You're identifying where Satan has a foothold in your life, your marriage, your home, and you're beginning to pull down that stronghold because you don't want his pollution in your life and home. And it's got to be something you persistently are staying engaged and determined by God's grace and in his power to see victory in your life and your home. Satan is a powerful enemy. He has an army. Our own flesh is a great enemy that we face each and every day. And so we must be sure that we are faithful and consistent and persistent in this fight. But can I encourage you this morning? God has given you and I a weapon. Now, as you read Ephesians 6, and the armor of God, the only offensive weapon that God gave his children is the Word of God. Notice it in Ephesians 6, 17 in your notes. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, every one of you and I this morning have been given a weapon, and it is God's holy Word. God has given us this Word for our protection. God wants you and I to know his Word. God wants you and I to be ready to use his Word to protect our life, our marriage, and our home. Say that you were beginning to feel the need to have a firearm in your residence. For whatever reason, or maybe you already do, as many of us do, and so maybe you purchase a firearm, and maybe you get ammunition for the firearm, and then you're thinking, you know, there's kids in the house and everything, so I want to get a case where it's locked, or maybe a safe where it is kept, and maybe I don't want ammunition in it all the time, but I want it readily available if I would ever need. And so you make preparations, and you get all of that done, and then you forget about it for a while. And all of a sudden, in the middle of one night, something tragic happens, and you hear the breaking of the window. You hear what you think to be an intruder coming into the home. You wake up, and you remember that you've purchased this firearm, and so you make your way over to where you remember leaving it, and as you do so, it's locked, and you forgot where you left the key, and finally, you remember, and you find the key, and you're fumbling around, and it's dark, and finally, you get the box open, and you get the firearm, and you get to the door of your bedroom just in the same moment that the intruder does, and you're facing there at gunpoint together, and you go to fire, and nothing happens. Because there's no ammunition in it. And now you're left at the mercy of this intruder and you have nothing to defend yourself with. Now the picture that I have just painted is the picture that most Christians find themselves in battle with Satan. God has given them weaponry. God has given them protection. But when they go to do battle with the wicked one, they don't know how to use it. And even though they have it, there's no ammunition in it. They know where to find it Sunday morning. They know the drill. Church time, here we go. And then after church, it finds its resting place. And next Sunday, we go through the same thing all over again. And we're not using the weaponry that God gave us. And we don't know our Bibles. And we're not ready as God wants us to be. And God in his Word is trying to paint for you and I a picture that believer, husband and wife, father and mother, recognize the fact that Satan wants his agenda in your heart and in your marriage and in your home. And God has given you a powerful tool, a weapon for protection, and it is his Word. And it is God's desire that you daily would be in the Word of God, that you would be reading the Scripture, that you'd be learning and applying its truths, that when it comes to church time, man, you'd be bringing your Bible to class and open it up and listening and learning. And in church, as we heard in the 8:30 service, the message about Jonah, and you'd be soaking up the Word of God. And then as a family, you'd sit around the table maybe before or after dinner and say, all right, everybody get your Bibles and let's read God's Word today. And hey, what did you get out of that? And hey, this is what I got. And isn't this a blessing? And just constantly making big of the Bible. Amen. That's what God wants you and I to do. It's his plan. It's his desire. It's the weapon that he has provided for our protection. Now we have to recognize we have a responsibility. We've got to provide protection to our marriage and to our home. And the best defense we will ever have against the attack of Satan is the Word of God. Listen to it. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You notice that phrase? the description of the Word of God, that it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Have you ever felt like something was wrong in your family but you didn't know what it was? Have you ever felt like something was off with your spouse but you couldn't put your finger on it? Did you ever feel like there was something amiss in the life of your child but you didn't know what the genesis of it was? You know what the Bible tells you and I this morning? The Word of God knows. The Word of God is a discerner. The Word of God, as you and I spend time in the Scriptures, can make come to life what we don't otherwise understand. It can help you and I to know that's the problem. That's the issue. This is what I need to do about it. This is what God is teaching me. The Bible will discern it, and it will help you and I to have a guard around our home and our relationship. If Satan desires to corrupt and pollute, the Word of God desires to protect and to cleanse. Now, we can own a copy of the Bible. And thank God, we live in the United States of America where we can own God's Word. We can carry God's Word. We can read God's Word. We can memorize God's Word. We can sing God's Word. We can hear it taught and preached. We can talk about it. We can communicate online about it. We have all the freedom in the world. So question, class, what are we doing with the Word of God? Are we taking advantage of this weapon that God has given to you and I for protection? Do we study it? Do we read it? Do we know it? Do we refer to it as we converse with our spouse? Does it come up? As we talk with our children, are we using truths that we're learning from the Word of God? As we tell our kids what's happening in society and community around us, are we bringing it back to what we're learning in the pages of Scripture? We have to make a decision proactively that we're going to use the Word of God and not be defiled by this world. The Bible says in Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be in obedience to God. Ephesians 6:11 challenges you and I to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have to make the decision. We're going to submit to God. We know Satan wants to corrupt. We know that Satan wants to pollute. But we are going to take advantage of the weaponry that God has given to us. And then as we do that, can I challenge us this morning, secondly, to stand in the gap for the young hearts in our homes? The Bible says in Romans chapter 16 and verse 19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. For every one of us in this room that God has blessed with the gift of life, and you this morning are either father or mother, can I encourage and challenge you that your children will require your help to stand against the wickedness of this day? That you are going to have to make a conscious decision to stand in the gap for them and to help them fight this spiritual battle for their own heart? You are going to have to get involved in their life at a very deep level if they're going to make it and be pleasing to the Lord and not come under the defilement of the pollution that Satan wants to put in their life. So what does this consist of? Letter A, protecting your children from corruption. Hebrews 13, verse 17 is an interesting passage. We often talk about the pastor in the church. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, this verse is primarily written to those who are under authority. We are under the authority of a pastor. A wife is under the authority of a husband. Children under the authority of mom and dad. God has an authority structure. And this verse is telling people under authority, hey, submit to your authority, appreciate your authority. You're going to benefit from that authority. But let's flip the narrative of that verse for a second this morning. That means everyone in this room who holds a position of authority, every husband, every mother, every father, you have a responsibility. Yes, those under your authority need to submit to your authority, but you have to be providing that authority. And what is the description of the provision of that authority? The Bible says, for they watch for your souls. Moms and dads, can I challenge you this morning? God has commissioned you to provide watch care for the souls of your children. You are to be on guard for what is coming into their life. And in order to protect them from the pollution of this world, you will at times be called on to stand in the gap. And I'll tell you this morning, and we've talked about this theme all throughout this series, you and I will never successfully stand in the gap for our children to do right if we first are not doing right ourselves. Parenting does not work telling our children, do this while I do this over here. It doesn't work. Because the life we live speaks so much louder than the words we say. We have to provide the right example and testimony. But we have to live in reality of the fact that the enemy is going to fight. Listen, it doesn't matter how sheltered your home is. And after class, we could swap stories about how sheltered we are. You know, we enjoyed some vacation, and our girls dress modestly when we go swimming and so on. And there were so many things about it that just declared, we're a little different. And we could talk all day long about how sheltered your home is and how sheltered our home is and what you do here and what you do there. And I'm for all of that, but here's what I want you to know. It doesn't matter how sheltered your home is, expect the enemy to fight. Satan is still going to come after your marriage. He's still going to come after your kids. If Satan got to Adam and Eve in the midst of perfection, what am I thinking if I'm thinking he's never going to get to my family? That's crazy. I've got to be expecting the enemy is coming after me and my family, and I have to help them build a defense, a knowledge of the Word of God. I have to constantly be on attack. Listen, aware of attack. Satan is not going to fight your family when you're ready for it. The tragedy of 9/11 was not something we were ready for. A passenger airline jet coming into a building was not something we'd ever seen. There was no preparation for that. It was tragic, and it was unexpected. Satan's not going to text you before he attacks you. Satan's not going to send you the game plan before he enacts the battle plan. You and I just have to be aware of the fact that it's coming, and we've got to always be on guard, always be vigilant, always be looking and watching over our children and our home and filling our house with good. May you and I not take the approach as moms and dads of, well, I don't know if there's anything wrong with that. I mean, show me the chapter and the verse where the Bible says we can't do that. Did you know the Bible does not say thou shalt not take heroin? It's not in there. Did you know that the Bible does not say thou shalt not drive 150 miles an hour? There's a lot of things the Bible doesn't say specifically that it has a principle for. And may you and I as moms and dads, as we get into the Word of God, not take a spirit of, well, I don't know that that's that bad and I think it's okay. Let's aggressively and intentionally say, what good can I put in our home? What good music can I put in our home? What good fun could we have this summer? Hey, let's unplug the TV. Let's sit around the table and play a game. Let's go outside and have some fun. Let's make a memory together. Let's spend some time together. Let's go to church together. Let's serve together. Man, I called Carlos this morning and we need his help with something. He said, Brother Roman, do the best I can. Right now I'm on my bus route. I said, man, thank God for that. I was talking to Joseph and Lydia. They said, Brother Rule, we were out camping for vacation. And we got in late last night, but we wanted to be in church. Thank God for that. People who said, I'm making decisions that, hey, there's other things going on, but this is more important. May you and I put good into our lives and into our home and be aware of what Satan is doing. But then lastly, letter B, may you and I be in the business of restoring a corrupted heart by the grace of God. You're of God, 1 John says, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I encourage you this morning? God's grace is stronger than any defilement Satan may be trying to bring in your life. And you might be sitting there going, Brother Rule, but you don't know where our marriage is at right now. And you don't know where our home is at right now. And you don't know what sin and pollution have already done in our lives. And we've got a long way to go. And I may not know, but I want to encourage you this morning. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is all you need to mend a broken heart and to restore fellowship with God and to eliminate the pollution of the world from your life and your relationship and your home. Never underestimate the power of God to restore a life, a marriage, and a family. If somebody in your family has already been corrupted by the world, then I want to encourage you this morning to claim the grace of God and ask Him to restore their heart. I love the prayer in Psalms 51, and we don't have time to read it all. The Bible says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Class, what do we do when Satan aggressively is trying to pollute our life, our marriage, and our home? How do we protect? How do we have security against that? I think you could summarize it by saying two very simple things. Number one, use this book. Make it a daily part of your life. Spend time in the Bible. Read the Bible as a family. Be in church faithfully. You say, but it's summertime and we've got this going on and we've got that going on. Make it a priority. My dad taught me many years ago, Satan never takes a day off. Satan's working overtime all the time. And I'm not saying don't take family vacation. We just took one. If you can, you should. We got many from our class on vacation right now. Thank God. I'm praying they have a great time. But I'm praying it's not a vacation away from God. I hope the vacation draws them closer to the Lord and brings them closer together as a family. So making big of this book, number one. Number two, how do we guard against this pollution? Have the hearts of your family members. Have their heart. If there's some corruption, if there's some defilement, if there's some evidence of Satan of the world in there that's caused division, then can I encourage you this week, roll up your sleeves, get involved, and get to their heart. And it might be taking your bride by the hand and walking for several hours and talking. It might be taking a child, just you and them alone, or you and your spouse and them, and spending some time together this week and getting to the heart of whatever the issue may be, but just being determined by God's grace and with His help, I want the heart of my spouse. I want the heart of my children. I want us to be close because Satan's going to try to attack and divide and pollute. And if I can have their hearts, and if this word has authority in our lives, we're on our way to being able to secure against Satan's attack on the home. Sin has pleasure for a season, but when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Satan is a master at making the wrong thing look good for a while, but he knows exactly where he's going with it. And I want to encourage all of us this morning, may you and I have enough of this in us that we can be a discerner and that we can see that looks nice and it's shiny and it sounds good, but we know that's just the hook and that's just the bait, and we know the reality is destruction. And so, Lord, help us to know your word and to use it and to really have the hearts of our family members so that we can protect against what Satan is trying to do. And then next week, we're going to learn the last of the four major strategies that Satan is using. And I hope we'll come ready to learn a little bit more. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for our class. Thank you for our country. And this week as we celebrate our independence, Lord, we're so grateful to be Americans. And more than that, we're grateful to be Christians. Lord, thank you for loving us and giving your life for us. And I pray this week that we would enjoy a lot of fun on Wednesday as a class, just hanging out and being together. I pray this week that we'd spend extra time in your word, that we would intentionally strive to have the hearts of our family members resting safely in our hands, that we could do all that we can to protect our marriage and our home from Satan's attack. Lord, I pray that you bless the families in this class. God, help them to love you and to walk with you And may you use them to make Jesus known wherever they go. Bless them this week, I pray. In Jesus' name.